Montreal. You gotta love a Dagwood sandwich.
At the end of the day, I am a penguin.
How you doing, Pierre?
I'm good. I'm good. John Cooper nailed it. Here's the deal. In seven games, we talked about in six games yesterday, Pittsburgh had outshot Tampa Bay in every game. In game seven, when it mattered the most, the shots were 39-17 for Pittsburgh. There was one game it was 41-21. There was one game it was 48-28. In the deciding game, it was 39-17. Not even close.
How do you explain that? Full credit to Pittsburgh.
Well, first of all, exactly. Full credit to Pittsburgh. Secondly, what John Cooper said in his post-game remarks probably should have been said before game number seven. They probably were. Gentlemen, they come at us hard. We have to move the puck quickly. We can't worry about being too precise. Chip it off the glass, get it into the neutral zone, and let us create some race situations against their defense because that's a weakness of their team. But they try to be too precise all the time with the puck and play a real puck possession kind of a game rather than chip and chase game, and it got them into trouble.
What you were there when Stamkos hit the ice. What was that feeling like, and what did you think overall of what his presence meant, if anything?
Well, there were three different times over the course of the game, not counting the slap shot in the second period, on the long change where it almost went through Matt Murray, but three other times when he was behind the defensive zone coverage of the Pittsburgh Penguins and defensemen made miraculous stick plays. One was Ben Lovejoy, one was Brian Dumoulin, and I believe one was Olli Maatta. If those plays aren't made, Stamkos had four quality scoring chances just on his own. But again, the defense for Pittsburgh found a way to make those plays, which were, I thought Dumoulin's, by the way, in the first period, was a game changer because it was 0-0 and the stick came out like a serpent's tongue because Stamkos gets that relay from Andre Palat. He's in all alone and it's probably 1-0 Tampa.
Can you explain how Russ found himself with so much time and space to be able to pick the corner high glove?
Well, you probably heard what I said on the breakdown. The numbers were going the wrong way for Tampa and the right way for Pittsburgh because Tampa was taking a line change on the long change, and what was really wise was Ben Lovejoy quick up the puck on the stretch pass to Malkin, who dumped it off to Kunitz. And while they are doing that long stretch pass on the long change, Tampa's changing. So their defense have to back off to respect the stretch pass, and they probably thought Malkin was going to attack more, but rather he relayed it to Kunitz, and that backed everybody off, and that created a huge seam for Russ to skate through, and that's why he had so much time and space.
Well, you mentioned Lovejoy, and you mentioned a couple of weeks back what a great job you thought Jacques Martin was doing with the group of Pittsburgh defensemen, and they were minus Trevor Dale, of course, for the last couple of games. And much like a lot of people around the National Hockey League are very happy for Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau, I know there are a lot of people who are very happy that Jacques Martin is going to a Stanley Cup final for the first time.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what's amazing? How quickly people forget, and I know it's a long time ago, it's almost 20 years, Jacques was the assistant coach in Colorado when they went to the final, and he left to go take the head job in Ottawa.
Okay, so wait a minute. It was Crawford, Martin,
and
Quenneville?
Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
So he left. That's a long time ago. You're not supposed to know that. But Jacques, to me, is a tremendous coach. I have a lot of respect for him, and I think he's in the perfect situation right now. Those kids are just so enraptured with his messaging and the way he does it, and he's not under the stress of being a head coach and dealing with the media. He can just go and be a tactician and communicate with them and practice and work with them. And as well as Mike Sullivan has done, and he's done great, Jacques and Rick Tocchet deserve a ton of credit for some of the work they've done with those young players.
Okay, again, so to clear that up, Jacques Martin, it's his first Stanley Cup final appearance in well over 20 years. Rod?
Pierre, we've given a lot of credit to the Pittsburgh Penguins' so-called bottom six forwards, but I was thinking back to the last time they were in the Stanley Cup final and the emphasis that Ray Sherrow put on, again, those bottom six forwards, and I'm thinking about Tyler Kennedy and Matt Cook and Max Talbot. Was that a focus for Jim Rutherford and the importance to utilize those slots in the roster to get meaningful contributions from them?
No, I think it was more, with all due respect to Jim, who deserves a lot of credit for the Carl Hagelin trade, the trade for Phil Kessel, There are a lot of things that Jim's done. The firing of Mike Johnston, who he hired, by the way, and realizing, oh, I may have made a mistake here, and he brings up, you know, Mike Sullivan. So Jim deserves a lot of credit for a lot of different things that have gone on there. But let the record stand straight. Tommy Kunackle, not drafted by Jim Rutherford, drafted by Ray Sherrill and his group and Randy Sexton. Brian Rust, drafted by Ray Sherrill and Jay Heinbuck and Randy Sexton. And there are a lot of players that they moved up from the American League that were drafted by a previous regime because Mike Sullivan worked with those players, and he knew those players, and he trusted those players like Connor Sheary. So they get a chance to come up. But this was because I think Jim deserves credit on realizing they had a flawed plan in place to begin with, and they needed to adapt on the fly, and they did. Last year was not, I think you would all agree, Pittsburgh was the eighth seed, and it was not a good year for the Pittsburgh Penguins last year in Jim's first year. This year, the second year, started out even worse. And in December, they were a non-playoff team. So there was a real emphasis on getting things fixed in a hurry. And one of the things they needed to do, play with speed, and they did that.
And again, as we said yesterday, and as we heard from John Cooper, I mean, it's not like Tampa Bay are a bunch of plotters, right? I mean, that's a team that's got some dynamic offensive talent. They could skate, but they weren't up to it.
No, and their bench got shorter. I think, first of all, Pittsburgh, again, four lines. Rod just touched on it. Matt Cullen, now that Jim deserves credit for that one. He knew Matt Cullen from the 06 Stanley Cup in Carolina when he was a GM, and he brought him in. Matt Cullen, I think, made $800,000 this year. It's in his 18th year as a pro. Matt Cullen's an unbelievable fourth-line center, wins a ton of draws, and can also play first-line left wing or right wing when the game's, you know, down the stretch and they need to defend the lead. So he's been great in doing that. But you look at their depth. Tommy Kunackle is really fast. Brian Rust is really fast. Phil Kessel and Carl Hagelin are playing on the third line. The only slow guy, I can tell you, the only guy that's, and he's not even that slow, is Nick Bonino. The rest of that team is ultra fast, really fast.
Yeah. So what do these guys project as, in addition to being, quality NHL players and can skate? What kind of players are they down the road, assuming good health?
Well, I think Kunackle's got a chance to really go. If you look at his numbers from Windsor when he played junior, especially his first year, I think he was close to 40 goals, if I remember correctly, and his skill level is extremely high. And I remember how excited Ray was when they drafted him. In terms of Brian Rust, he was a tremendous point getter at Notre Dame, played 4 years there. I think he could project into being a 15 to 20 goal scorer, but be a very effective player for you. So they all translate, all the young ones. And the only one I'm worried about, it's only because of his size, is Connor Sheary, just because he's fearless and he gets smashed all the time. And you just don't know how long a player like that can last. But they all project to be very, very solid two-way players, very solid.
Talking about storylines, what do you think this this Cup final is going to be like for Paul Martin?
I think he's going to be really happy for a lot of his old teammates because he was very popular in Pittsburgh, and he was considered one of the real leaders on the team. And he went through a lot of trials and tribulations there trying to keep that thing together when it was a pretty bumpy road. I think it'll be emotional for him, but I also know it'll be one that he'll really appreciate because he's been close, but he's never been there, and I think that it'll be something he'll really appreciate.
Steven Stamkos, let the speculation begin now. Full force hurricane speculation. I definitely want to stay. That hasn't changed, and he still hopes something gets done with the Tampa Bay Lightning. But you look at the makeup of the roster and some of the younger guys who are definitely going to hang on to, unless they make some kind of unexpected blockbuster. How do you see this shaping out in the offseason?
They're still the leading candidate to keep him. I'm just saying, I don't know that for sure, but you heard him say that. I've been telling you that Steven has shared with me many times, why would I want to leave? Look at what we have here. He's extremely popular with his teammates. It's a heck of a place to play. It's one of the best ownership groups in the National Hockey League. They're treated fantastically well. He's making tens of millions of dollars. The tax-free exemption on state income is huge down in Florida. It's gigantic. It's a huge bonus for anybody playing or coaching there. So,
well, it's one thing for the player to want it.
Well, that's fair, and that's what I'm talking about. And I also, that's why I touched on the ownership, Mitch. I think the ownership there is just so enlightened and understanding that Brad Richards is gone. Vinny LeCavalier is gone. Marty St. Louis is gone. Nikolai Habibulin is gone. Dave Anderchuk works as an ambassador. Their last vestiges, Danny Boyle's there, their last vestiges of faces for the franchise have basically moved on. And what they're trying to do, and brilliantly so, I think, and the Tampa Bay Lightning deserve a ton of credit. They've done a great job in their marketplace. They're trying to create a face for their franchise. Sure, Victor Hedman is potentially one of them. Maybe Ben Bishop. Who knows if he's going to stay or leave because of Vasilevsky's assertion and the way he's played. But the biggest thing is Steven is the face of the franchise. Steven Stamkos is the guy. And they've worked hard to create that image in their community.
So in a non-traditional market, in this case Tampa, but it could be another one, what's the discussion like between ownership and, say, the marketing division and the hockey division, whereas ownership goes, we want a face of the franchise, we want a star to sell, but maybe the GM and the hockey people say, well, we think winning will sell itself. Can that potentially be tenuous?
I don't think so. And maybe if there was an owner that wasn't as professional, potentially that could be a problem. But I think in the case of Jeff Vinnick, I don't think that's an issue at all. I met Steve Griggs, their CEO. He's a really smart guy, and I don't see that being an issue there. I really don't. The number one thing, every time I see Mr. Vinnick and I say congratulations to him, a lot of owners will say, oh, thank you very much, thank you very much, if you say that to them. You know what Mr. Vinnick says to me? It's about our people. Our people. Our people make it happen all the time. That's what he says. He doesn't ever talk about, oh, thanks a lot, or, you know, I appreciate it. It's always about our people. So I don't think that's an issue there.
How much room will there be if Stamkos gets $9 million or more in a long-term deal? And tell me, you know, how you could possibly bring them all back. And the fact of the matter is you can't. And my guess is there's probably at least a couple that are going to be sacrificed, and maybe more than that by the time it's all said and done, depending on where the cap goes.
There is your pal Bob McKenzie with Connor McKenna, Sean Starr, Rick Moffitt on the morning show here on TSN 690. So,
why is that a foreign concept, though? Chicago has to almost do it every year. So the best teams understand that. And don't kid yourself. If Chicago is a double goalpost away from moving on and playing in the next round.
That's why I don't like the salary cap.
Pardon me?
That's why I don't like the salary cap.
Yes. I apologize for interrupting you if that's where you were going. But I think, Mitch, in order, and because you live in Montreal, you don't like the salary cap. Mm-hmm. But if you lived in Nashville, or if you lived in Florida, if you lived in Carolina, if you lived in Ottawa, you may like the salary cap.
I don't know about that. I'd say, look, this is the big leagues.
Oh, I get it. You know, you cheer for one of the most prominent teams in the league.
Yeah, but I also cheered for the Montreal Expos, and the reason they got into the mess that they got into wasn't because there wasn't a salary cap in baseball. It was because of bad ownership.
Well, you heard me say that before about ownership, but that's fair. What you just said is very fair and true. I remember having a meeting with Ron Bremner, the CEO and president at the time of the Calgary Flames, when we were talking about the manager's job there, and I said, I have a novel concept for you. I want to start a hockey academy, much like what the Montreal Expos have done in the Dominican, and create the ultimate breeding ground for players. And now this was before the Detroit model started to kick in. And I talked about the importance of paying top dollar for scouts and paying them in U.S. dollars rather than Canadian dollars and being able to keep them, but also cultivating, because you could see it starting to turn, Sweden and Finland in particular, because you could see they were back to developing skill rather than just creating robots on the ice, which they did for about 10 years and lost a generation of player both in Finland and Sweden. And so I talked to him about that, and it goes to what you're talking about with the Expos. They were the ultimate breeding ground for players. They were fantastic at doing it.
So if, and that's what Tampa has been doing, right? So if they do decide to keep Stamkos and they can reach an agreement, who is most likely forced out of there among the talented young players that they have?
Ben Bishop would be one, because his contract's up at the end of next year. So when's he most valuable to a team that would like to acquire him? Now with 1 year left on his contract, or when he's a potential unrestricted free agent, you may not be able to keep him and sell him on your program. So he'd be one guy. that would be available.
Give me a skater. It's tough.
Maybe huh? Tyler Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Didn't play that well last night, huh?
I don't think he's 100%.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I think it's really important to be fair to him. Just he and Kucherov didn't seem right now. Kucherov had three great games in a row, two assists, and then two goals and an assist. I mean, he was great for three games of the seven in the final, but he wasn't overwhelming like we saw parts of last year. The one guy that I wouldn't trade from there, there's actually a bunch that I wouldn't, but I'll tell you two guys that I would not move from there. One would be Alex Killorn, and the other one would be Andre Palat.
We're going to go out with, by the way, what did you make of Sidney Crosby actually lifting the trophy?
I loved it.
So did I.
Rod,
did you like it?
Rod, can you check it out? I don't know which year we did it. Maybe we did it both years, 91 and 92, if the guys touched the Prince of Wales or not. I think when I was there, I think they did it both years.
Well, we'll check on that.
Yeah. Just check on it.
But so before we get to that on-ice interview with the captain of the Penguins, and again, game one, Monday night, we'll have every game of the Stanley Cup Final except for game two right here on TSN 690. I want to ask you about a couple of Kings-related stories.
Yep.
Slava Voynov named to the Russian team, along with Alexei Yemelin, yes, by the way, for the World Cup. I don't think the NHL is too pleased about this.
Right.
And Dustin Brown has had his captaincy stripped by the Kings.
Well, first of all, Dustin, you know, a lot of hard miles and hasn't played nearly as much in a key role for them for a very long time, the last couple of years. You've got Drew Doughty, an evolving player who's really got a strong voice with that team and is very respected internally, and so is Anze Kopitar, who's got a chance to be a major award winner this spring. So I think in the case of Dustin, and he's a very intelligent guy. If you go look at him when he played in the Ontario Hockey League with Guelph, he was the OHL Scholastic Player of the Year, so he's not a dummy. He understands that, you know, sometimes just father time passes by and there has to be a change. And it worked out pretty well in San Jose this year. It's worked out real well.
Do you see any team interested, considering Gallo, the term of Brown?
He's got 6 years left at 5.8 per year.
He's, I believe that he's either a King, or if you're talking about Dustin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's either a King or he's a buyout potential guy. But I believe he's a King.
Okay, and in the next 40 minutes or so, Team Europe, Team USA, Team North America,
right,
and then Team Canada at 6:22.
I can't tell you everything, but I think there's some surprises coming on a couple teams, on U.S. and Canada.
A couple of surprises?
Yep.
All right. Now, which
one will be for Canada, someone who made it, and I think it's a real good make, and one will be for Team USA, I think a big surprise, not making it.
Okay, so let me put it this way: if at 6:22, between 6:22 and 6:45, however long it takes, PK Subban is not named to the team, what would you say to Canadiens fans who would be outraged?
You know, get mad at the people that made the decisions for the team. I don't know why he wouldn't be on that team.
Okay.
I would have him on my team. Listen, I will just tell you this. I remember, and I know I shared it with you in conference, I remember sitting in Mike's office in Detroit many times and then coming on the radio with you right after visiting with Mike about Subban for 2014. And I continually said, and I know, I'm pretty sure other people from Hockey Canada said, PK Subban can help you. Now, he didn't play a lot at the Olympics, but it was a very positive experience, and he was not a drain on that team at all.
Ladies and gentlemen, your 1991 Penguins Breakfast Champion, the Pittsburgh Penguins!
Boy, this is definitely a perfect day in Pittsburgh.
Now, Mario with the trophy and the skate.
1991, Mario skating with the trophy, Pierre.
That I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
That totally jinxed you guys for the next year, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, we were jinxed. We were jinxed out both years, yeah.
Have a great weekend. Thanks, as always. We're going out with your talk with Sidney Crosby. We'll talk to you on Monday prior to game one.
Appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Have a good night, a great weekend. Take care.
In the 90s when they won, they touched it, and then in 08 when we didn't win, they didn't. So or we didn't, sorry. So in 2009, we decided to go ahead and touch it and tried to keep that, you know, that same kind of thing. So
when the season started and you were in training camp, is this the way you envisioned things playing out?
I was just hoping to try and make the team and make an impact any way I could. I guess this is a way. This is a pretty good way for it to go, but got one more step.
Brian, can you speak about the puck confidence you had, especially in Game 6 and 7?
Sometimes you get the bounces and sometimes you get the lock. I just try and play the same way every time.
What's the best way to describe the emotion around this team right now?
Fun. We're having a lot of fun and taking it day by day. And like I said, three steps down, one to go.
One of the big stories is Coach Sullivan coming up in December. Things weren't working out that well with this group. What did he bring that changed the mindset for this entire team?
He brought a sense of pride back to the organization. And just the passion that he brings every day kind of was contagious.
Congratulations. You're going to the Stanley Cup Final, Brian.
Thanks, Pierre.
And, of course, that was clearly a goal-scoring hero, Brian Rust, not Sidney Crosby, but that was Crosby on touching the trophy. Michael Farber weighs in next on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690.
Hockey insider Pierre McGuire, brought to you by the Old Orchard Pub, 5 locations.